Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Premier Football Podcast with me, Hyrule here, the little podcast from Little Singapore talking about all things football. Joining me today after a hiatus of about 2 weeks is Hata. Hey Hata.
Hello everyone, great to be back here.
Yeah, welcome back. And I've got Ewan as well, coming back. Ewan.
Hey. Hey Ewan.
Okay, Hata, since you're away for 2 weeks, right? So how has things been for you from a football sense the past 2 weeks? Catch us up here.
I mean, there's been COVID and AFCON, right? I mean, that's been the news of the last 2 weeks or so. It's just been COVID, game closures, and AFCON and all that. So I think it's been an interesting couple of weeks, and especially from an Arsenal perspective, there's been some games on, some games off. I think results wise for Arsenal, which I support. It hasn't been that good in January. I have been doing a bit of a mini detox from EPL and watching a bit of AFCON highlights, which have been fun to watch, and some truths and spills as well. Yeah.
So if you were to give a rating for Arsenal's January, how would you rate it?
Wow. You know, it has swung back and forth quite a bit, hasn't it? I mean, just looking at their January games, right? So they had that amazing game on New Year's Day against Man City, which they lost on the fight. That was like the best performance in a long time, but they lost it. And they were really awful against Nottingham Forest. Just really tame. But again, they had COVID and you know, absences and here and there. Liverpool. Then they went on a high, so to speak, against Liverpool first leg semi-final 0-0, Granit Xhaka red card and backs against the wall performance, and then second leg they kind of ran out of steam towards the end, and then you could see a lot of that steam being lost against Burnley in the recent weekend's game. So it has been an up and down performances. I would say 5 out of 10. Really, there's been some good highlights of good performances, but without good results. And then, but overall poor results. So maybe I'll change it. Maybe 4 out of 10 because of the poor results.
Yeah. Wow, that's poor really results. Harsh. That's really
harsh, man. No, because I think poor results have still been poor, but I think the 4 has been for those two good performances. You know, Arsenal were kind of in patches good against Burnley, but they just couldn't find that finishing touch. And that last half an hour of the game was just really dreadful to watch, because I think that's they really ran out of steam. So I think the next 2 weeks, you know, they'll be getting back some players from AFCON, possibly from suspensions, Xhaka and Partey, and hopefully, you know, they can reset they can press the reset button on some of the injuries and COVID cases that they have. Yeah, so I think they really needed this reset, and I hope, you know, it goes from 4 to 10 very soon.
Speaking of Thomas work event, well, you watched the game. I watched the game, right? I think they shouldn't have rushed him.
Oh, yeah. That game. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was too soon, way too soon for him.
Yeah, I mean, there's two ways to look at it, right? Under this new Mikel Arteta regime, it's all about unity and this kind of rah, rah, rah. We're all in this together. And you know, on one hand, I think you can look at it and say, yes, that's a great show of spirit, of team spirit, and wanting to be accountable and want to contribute to the team. But you're right, I think it in hindsight it might not have been the best decision, because you know he's coming back out from AFCON, you know he had a long flight. You kind of don't know what kind of physical condition he's in after that long flight. Also, you know, I'm not sure what kind of mental scars he may have. I mean, Ghana were one of the favorites, you know, in the tournament, but they crashed really badly. So not sure what kind of frame of mind he was as well. Maybe he needed a bit of a pause as well, right? Just a day off or whatever, just to unwind and unhook from the pressure of football, just for like maybe a day or two. But you know, he went straight in, and I think.
And then went straight out.
Yeah. I think the first yellow card was a bit harsh. I think second one was, second one was an orange card, as I would say, right? It's kind of yellow and a half, right? So right, I think overall, you know, lesson learned. And, you know, that was a big mistake, because that compounded into the Burnley game, which I think they could have used him for that Burnley game to just give them a bit of extra control and penetration from the middle, you know. And what we saw in Burnley is that they ran out of steam and they just ran out of ideas after a while. Yeah, I think Thomas Partey was a bad decision. But again, they have the next 2 weeks, press the reset button, Granit Xhaka's going to be back. So we have three bodies plus Elneny who might be coming back from AFCON. I don't know, it's really challenging right now. But it feels like the whole football calendar is in such crazy flux right now. Right. Right? You just don't know who is playing when, who has players, who doesn't have players. It just feels, I don't know, it just feels like a bit of a mess, isn't it? Ewan, I mean, it's Burnley has like how many games, a million games in hand, and it just doesn't make sense to me. So the last 2 weeks have been this crazy flux, you know. I don't know how you feel about it, Ewan.
Yeah, no, I think we were talking about it last episode too, but you know, the likes of Chelsea with having played 24 games, and then you have some like Tottenham have played 20 games. You know, so the true position on the table is not actually reflected because there's so many, there's 4 games between the two, right? Of course, you know, two schools of thought. One is that, you know, they'd rather have the points on the table already. And another school is, well, the games in hand, you know, reflect the potential to be at a certain a higher place on the table. But of course, you could lose all those games and just be, you know, down low. But you're right. You know, I think one thing the EPL has done over the seasons, you know, since its inception is basically keep everybody within a few games. You know, and this is despite having like a League Cup and an FA Cup and whatever internationals in place and AFCON or whatever else. Just this season, because of COVID, it's now all over the place. So, you know, you kind of think that, you know, the likes of Everton, they've been playing badly, but they have played only 20 games, you know, compared to everyone else around them, except Burnley, who's got 18 games. And for a club like Burnley, right, fighting for relegation, it's got to feel really bad to be, you know, on 12 points, propping up the bottom of the table, despite having like, what, 6 games on Chelsea and 2 games on Watford, you know, that sort of thing. Because there's no guarantee they're going to win it. And it's tough to watch right now. And I think the only thing that happened over the weekend that might have sort of saved the league a little bit was City dropping points by drawing with Southampton and Liverpool picking up the slack and winning. Was it Brentford? No, it was
Crystal Palace.
Crystal Palace, yeah, 3-1 was a good game, yeah. So should Liverpool win that game in hand they have on City, they'd only be 6 points behind. And that's pretty all right. That's pretty all right for slightly under half a season to go. But yeah, you know, the likes of Arsenal, we were just talking about them, right? They have a game on Man United and they're only 2 points behind. So they could, you know, be up there. But then West Ham, you know, have played 2 more games than them, you know, that sort of thing. Or Spurs have played one less game than Arsenal. So it's so confusing, like you said. Definitely doesn't make for comfortable watching. You know, but Harry, what do you feel about this though? You know, being this many points behind Man City and having games in hand, not a good position for you guys to be?
I mean, like you said, it's 6 points, right, if we win that game in hand. But that game in hand, I think it's against Leeds. Yeah, it's another team that you don't know where they're going, right? On paper, they have a good team. Leeds United.
Agreed. You don't know how they're going to play on the day, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and anything can happen with Leeds, actually. Right now, I mean, for all you know, they may get a new manager. Like, a few of us are actually quite surprised that Bielsa has managed to survive at Elland Road for so long this season, considering how poorly they performed compared to last season.
Right.
I guess you can only play whatever's put in front of you, right?
Yeah.
And no point, you know, thinking too far ahead. So I guess that's probably the position that Liverpool's taking right now. Mm-hmm. Take it as it comes, take each game as it comes. One game at a time, lah. And then you can't really talk about other teams because that's out of your control, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you do your job, the club does its job, then let other things happen. Like, anything can happen, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure none of us expected Southampton to draw with Man City.
Yeah.
I mean, they took the lead with a very well-taken goal by Walker Peters.
Right, yes.
Then Man City drew it to 1-1. I half expected Man City to claw back and win the game, but no, Southampton held out, and you know, all credit goes to them. Man City's last game of the season against Aston Villa. Who knows, man? You know,
Moutinho masterclass.
Yeah, you know, time for Gerard to do Gerard job, right?
Moutinho Gerard, axis again.
So, you know, let's see. I mean, it's another strange season. I mean, last year we had one strange season with all the with COVID and all, and this year it's still a strange season because, you know, all the postponements are affecting the games in one way or another. There's still a lot of things to fight for from the Liverpool's perspective. I mean, we've got we're in the League Cup final.
Yeah,
that's, I mean, going back to Wembley, I think after 6 years, right? It's been a while. Community shields don't count now. And yeah, there's the FA Cup. There's the Champions League. All for it, lah. All for the next 4 months, hopefully. You know, the players coming back from AFCON as well. For yourself, looking down one rung down the ladder, right?
Yeah.
What's Blackburn like for you in January?
Well, they were, you know, it's always going to be a tough act to follow because they're on a 10-match winning streak. So they finally lost to Hull City. But, you know, some losses... you can take heart from them just simply because sometimes the you know, dice don't fall your way, right? And this looks like one of those games where they conceded early and then they had some calls go against them and had like a penalty shout not go against them, go for them. So in the end, they lost the game 2-0. But, you know, sometimes it's good because it's a bit of a wake-up call that, you know, you not to get complacent. The other upside, although, you know, it's not really an upside, but Bournemouth also lost. So basically the second and third place teams, that's Bournemouth and Blackburn, stay even on points. But all good news for Fulham because they won again. And they are like far and ahead clear in on the top of the table. So they'll play again later tomorrow morning, as at this time that we're recording. So we'll see if they can recover and actually, you know, do something decent and, you know, learn from their mistakes in the previous game. But you know, overall, it's been actually for Blackburn, they were knocked out of the League Cup early on. Not even sure. I don't think they're in the FA Cup still. So yeah, just the league to focus on. So might be a good thing. Might turn out to be a good thing. But overall, I would. Similarly, since January, they've only played like a couple of games and they lost one of them. So yeah, at the most, a 5/10 for Blackburn Rovers.
Hatta, you've been following the AFCON, right? I believe we're in the round of 16 now.
I believe so. Yes, without Ghana and possibly I think Algeria. AFCON. Yeah.
Algeria is bottom of the group. Who do you think are favorites for it right now?
Wow. I think Cameroon looks strong. Senegal, obviously, you know, are pretty up there. There'll be one more game, you know, Egypt and Ivory Coast. That looks like a pretty tasty game as well, you know, with a lot of big names on both ends. I think the Egyptians' front line is pretty good, obviously, Mo Salah, but not so strong in centre midfield. I don't know. I think home nation Cameroon look like a very strong bet. I feel and they're the perennial, they're kind of perennial favorites as well. You know, within the continent, but it's been quite a, you know, the tournament has been quite cagey from a defensive perspective. So you know, it hasn't been a goal fest, but I think it has shown a lot of truths and spills. Just today alone, Nigeria got out. Thanks to Tunisia, right? Nigeria is also one of the, is seen as one of the top teams as well. So, you know, goodbye Nigeria, and you know, let's see what happens for the rest of the week, where we'll have the rest of the games coming on the round of 16. So Gabon is out, but you know, the interest in the Arsenal player, you know, Aubameyang, he was never there. He never played anyway, right? So. Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting tournament. I think it's between Senegal and Cameroon, and they're going to be playing at the time of recording. They're going to be playing soon. Cameroon's going to be playing in the next 4 hours against Comoros.
I think that's a clear. Seems like an easy one for them, right? I mean, Comoros was like third in their group.
They barely scraped through.
I mean, the midnight game is Guinea against Gambia.
Yeah, that's right. So Comoros were the ones that kind of pushed out Ghana, right? So everyone expected Ghana to go through. So they're the ones. But I think that's the kind of so-called easy one. I mean, Cameroon finished first, right? I'm looking at the table right now. Two wins, one draw. So, you know, I think they've been really, really good. Really solid as well. I think Cameroon, why not, right? I mean, they have Onana, Chipomoteng.
Right.
Yeah.
So are they your pick to win then, since they've
home nation, right? Home nation, I think you just have that going for them, and the results have been pretty good. So they can only get better, right? So I think they'd be one to watch. Egypt, as I mentioned, and Senegal as well, because of the star players. But I think it's been a very interesting tournament, you know?
Guinea, Gambia is supposed to be at midnight. Today's Monday.
So tonight, yeah.
As of time of recording. So by the time this podcast comes out, we probably know the results already.
Yeah. But I mean, I was first drawn to it because I also was a bit annoyed at all these European clubs and pundits saying it's a waste of time, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you weren't saying the same thing when it came to
such
Euros,
an imperialistic mentality.
Yeah, exactly, right? Because, when someone else does it, it's poor, but when we do it, it's fine. When no one was questioning the safety when it came to Euros, when, you know, it was so much traveling across all these cities. You know, no one said that this is a COVID issue and safety issue. And this is going to be, you know, held in one place. And then suddenly, you know, all these excuses and all these, fingers get pointed about how it's inferior program, blah, blah, blah. I think that was really, really low. You're right. The imperialistic mindset, right?
Yeah. And no one really talks about how poorly, you know, the semis and finals were, how poorly it was organized, or, you know, the safety, you know, the amount of chaos,
England, right?
It's
such a shameful event that happened with England at Wembley, right? For all the fights and the kind of rioting that happened. You know, if this happened at AFCON, they'd be like, oh, look at these uncivilized people doing all these awful things. You should never support them, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, when the English do it, when the Europeans do it, then, oh, yeah, okay. Lesson learned, let's move on, and da-da-da. So that's what got me thinking about, you know, because the African players are really coming out and talking about how proud they were and you know. Yeah, and even I think, what's his name? I think Samuel Eto'o came out saying, right, it's a proud moment, and he kind of showed the, what's the word, the double standard. So, yeah, I think it's been fascinating. Even if you just watch the highlights, I think that's good enough. It's pretty interesting. Yeah, very colorful. And I especially love the kids. The kids are amazing. The kids are really amazing. The Ghana one, I think really stood out for me. Really, really colorful kids.
I think for me, the one that really strikes out for me is the Comoros kids. I mean, I think they're gonna get knocked out by Cameroon, but yeah, you know, go out in style, Right. What was the phrase even they were talking about the other day?
Kala tidak apa tapi style.
All right.
Yeah. I always forget the
style,
last part.
Style indeed. I mean, you look at Ethiopia with all the prints. It just looks really amazing. But my favorite was Ghana, and too bad we won't be seeing Ghana. A lot more. I think the other one which has been good is obviously Nigeria, which always gets the good kids by Nike.
But that's, I think it's a carryover from last year, I think. So
it is a carryover, correct. So this is a kind of their 2-year cycle. So this was still within that 2-year cycle. But the Nigeria one always very classy. Yeah. Two cycles in a row, I think they've had amazing kids. I still prefer the previous one with the Eagles wings. But even I think that the lifestyle collection for Nigeria, it's really, really nice. The lifestyle training collection, even
the one
nicer,
says,
I think.
The one that says Nigeria
I might have one of them actually. I think I have one of them. Yeah, it's really amazing stuff.
Anyway, we're recording this in the last week of January. Transfers window is still open. Do you guys see any transfer moves happening this last week or so? Because personally, I don't. I mean, I don't hear of any major moves happening. It's pretty quiet. I think the club that's supposed to be, you know, the big mover and shaker in the Premier League is supposed to have been Newcastle, but I think, you know, nothing much is happening with on their end either. Premier League wise, I guess the big move was Coutinho to Aston Villa. Possibly.
Aston Villa, what a big ones, right? Luka Dean as well at left back.
Luka Dean, yes.
But yeah, I don't know. I think because of COVID, everyone's a hot place a bit more because they're just afraid that they don't have the numbers. So they'd rather keep players on and better to be safe than sorry. So I think that's the approach that many clubs are having. So many aren't willing to let go of their players.
Yeah, I think there's talk of maybe it could be the biggest move if it does happen would be Adama Traore to Tottenham Hotspur. Even if it does happen, yeah, it's kind of a bit of an overdue move for the guy. I mean, he was due for sign for Barcelona, you know, just like a season or so back. And but yeah, you know, you could see how he could add to Tottenham up front, but as we know, Spurs have more of a problem at the back. So, or even in midfield, because Antonio Conte was complaining that he's got midfielders, but he doesn't have a lot of options. So, you know, it's just the same few guys. He didn't have like a Christian Eriksen like sort of playmaker that could release the forward guys. So they're a bit top heavy right now. So it'll be a bit strange if they sign Traore right now, because you know,
and Wolves wouldn't want to let go of one of the key players as well. So that's
and they're playing well right now. And you know, getting the results. So, like you said, during this COVID period, it's hard to get people to come over and move over. It's not so free and easy. So I think the clubs want to hang on to their own players a little bit longer, at least. And I think that's the thing that makes sense. It'll be nice, actually, I think, to see the teams stay more or less the same without any major moves.
There's also talk about this affecting the the integrity of the game, because a lot of these teams are supposed to play before January.
Oh yes.
So what happens if, let's say, again, Spurs bring Traore, this person brings this person brings in this player and that player, and this match was supposed to be before the January window started. So
exactly,
should he be playing? Should he not be playing? Right. So there's all these considerations as well, which is important, lah.
Correct.
But yeah, you know, if you didn't have this player and then now you have this player who adds something extra to your team and you win this game, but this was not supposed to happen. This was supposed to be in December. Are you cheating, you know, in some way, right? So challenging.
I mean,
challenging.
Yeah, and I think by the same argument, you know, if you have sold a player in January, you know,
correct,
and can you recall that player to play for you just this one game?
so that's that consideration as well. But I think the bigger issue for most of them is just no one wants to let go of a move because they're just afraid of, you know, they're just really, really afraid of COVID right now. I mean, it's rampant across Europe and no one wants to be left shorthanded.
Even you mentioned Eriksen. Wasn't Eriksen supposed to sign for someone?
Brentford.
Brentford, that's right.
Yeah. So I guess, I think the offer's on the table. I guess it's just a matter of whether, you know, he want to take it. So I think the offer's up for a half season contract. With a view to, you know, maybe an extra year or so. I think they're just looking to assess his body as he takes on, you know, the load of a professional schedule. But it might be interesting. I mean, Brentford's a London club, and he still has a home in London. And Thomas Frank used to coach him, I think, in under 19s or 18s in Denmark.
In Denmark,
they have some relationship.
Right.
So let's see. I mean, it'll be lovely to kind of see him back. You know, just playing. He couldn't play in Italy because I think they have a very strong rule about no pacemakers. Because they had a lot of issues in other spots in Italy as well, where people died from a heart issue. So they have been tainted by a lot of such cases. So they said no more. If you need pacemaker, that means I think your heart is not good enough for professional sports. We don't want to risk you. So that's right. That's the Italian's sports stance across all sports in Italy. So I mean, other countries decide to take that risk a bit more, and I guess the player decides to take that risk a bit more. So yeah, it would be really interesting to see them play for Brentford, because I think I'm really keen to see how he pushes them away from. I mean, I don't think they're going to be relegated, how much incremental impact will he have on that team? I'm quite interested to see. Yeah.
Yeah.
It will be very fascinating. Yeah. I mean, he's a superstar in a team of no superstars, you know?
Yeah.
Because the team was really based on hard work, you know, these unknown gems, unknown players, right? They did a little analytics. So he is the one, like, recognized name and a pretty big name as well. So that'll be very fascinating to see how he gets integrated to the whole team.
Yeah. I know Thomas Frank did not look happy after this game. But
he got shown
a yellow card and then sent off at the end of the game, right?
Yeah.
Well, you can sympathize with him. I think the calls in that game...
Questionable?
Yeah. Questionable. it's a polite way to say it.
Yeah.
Speaking of transfers, I think there's been some transfer movement, if you can say that, for the Singapore Premier League today. We had Lion City Sailors signing another Brazilian from the Portuguese league, following in the footsteps of Diego Lopez. But this time around, it's, let me get his name right, Pedro Henrique from Vitória Guimarães. 29 years old, centre-back. Interesting. Well, if Cal was here, of course, he would be saying that, you know, Lion City Sailors is playing Championship Manager.
Undisclosed fee.
Undisclosed fee.
So I'm sure it'll reach a high six or seven figure sum, I'm sure. Just like the other two Brazilians before. I guess they're very big fans of tall Brazilian defenders.
Yeah.
So it seems.
Well, a country that isn't exactly known for their defenders, right? But
yeah, you know, tell that to what's his name? Chelsea.
David Luiz and
David Luiz.
Not exactly the poster boy for centre backs, lah.
He's a very unique case.
Sideshow Bob, lah.
Yes.
I've asked Cal about this last week about the Singapore Premier League, right? And then all these moves happening, good move or good direction of where the league is going, you think?
I don't know, you know. I really don't know, because it starts also... I mean, on one hand, on the sporting side, it does create a massive disparity against the other clubs who historically and everyone has always struggled to find funds. I mean, Geylang just lost like 80-90% of all the players, and then they've just gone on a massive recruitment drive, and you don't even know whether they could... born and connect, right? I mean, there's 90% of the team is new. So I think it does affect the sporting integrity a little bit. On the other hand as well, I think if you just took a step back from the thoughts of sporting integrity, because the sport itself isn't so big and popular, one of the things that they've always needed is actually a bit of a commercial boost and interest in the sport, right? So I think on some level, well, the sporting integrity isn't fantastic, it does bring a lot more viewership and interest into local sport, which is, I guess, a positive, right? So you one step back, but one step forward as well. I'm undecided as well, because I'm not the biggest fan of big corporations taking over because I don't know what the end game is for them, right? It doesn't look like a sustainable venture, but you know, the good news is that it does bring a lot of interest into the local sports scene, which is, I guess, good. I've had friends who visit Lion City and do passionately feel something for the team and do get excited about local football, and that's not something you can really, really say for a local scene. So I guess, necessary evil. I mean, it's not necessary, but it's an evil that it's not even evil, but you know, it's just something that I think on some levels is good, right? It's just that I think our government has to find a way to how do we wean off these kind of corporate roles. and make sure that we can find more ways to drive
right
the level of the sport. But I think from a commercial and a hype perspective and getting people excited, I think it's good. I think it's good. Yeah. So I think in the short term, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, it would be good if they could somehow even playing field with more corporations coming in, right? I mean, I don't know either. All I know is that,
but
you know,
who wants to, right? That's a question, right?
Yes, so, correct.
Which is back to this. I mean, this has become a Lions City Sailors
League,
ownership introspective, right? But the question is then what do corporations have to gain? You know,
exactly. So maybe you know if Lion City does Sailors do this right, then another big corporation might be keen to come in and follow suit, seeing the benefits they can gain or whatever.
True, but this has been a massive loss-making venture for them, right? I mean,
correct. Right.
Spend
so
millions
you know,
on this.
I mean,
I'm sure the
yeah.
is still.
Yeah, speaking to the CEO, it seems like really they want to give back to the community, lah. But you know, I don't know what the tax breaks and incentives are like, or you know what you know all that sort of things might you know, what favor might gain them, right? So eventually for them long term, it might actually become profitable, but not in the direct sense, right? So you know, all I know is that it was interesting because I was looking for football classes for my kid. My youngest one, since the Suzuki Cup, has not stopped kicking the ball around the house.
Fantastic.
For a month because you know that it will drive everybody crazy because you know we live in HDBs, right? So that's like so he you know really really wanted to try out something, and we found Lion City's Sailors Academy as near our place as Ang Mo Kio IT Central. So he just had a tryout over the weekend, and it was cool. It was cool because I've never been to like an actual formal, even for like kids class, right? Training session. I haven't seen it conducted before in football. So to see him go there, like see the number of kids taking part. It wasn't like crazy. It wasn't crowded or anything, but it was good. So good to see that many kids at that age, primary one age, right? 6 years old, interested in just going for a kickabout, running around with the ball. So
that's great. Yeah.
So it was good. We'll sign him up after his vaccination is done.
Wow. But, so you're gonna have the contract signing with the manager. Yeah. The press conference table.
Yeah, my mom-in-law was asking, "What do you mean you guys have to pay?" It's not like you know they spotted his talent or what. We're like, no, it doesn't work that way. not quite the same. But yeah, so I mean, looking forward to that. I mean, if that's the sort of thing that you know trickles down into the community, and you have a lot of clubs you know offering these sort of you know reaching out to all these people and making use of all the facilities that we have, and all the kids start playing. That's a good thing. But like you said, like you know, go boils back to so for Lion City Sailors directly, right? How do they stand to gain from this? So
because you know this has to be an example to all these other corporations who can take on the other clubs, but then they'll all be looking at it and say, look, you just spent how many million in your first year, and then I don't have that kind of money to burn, you know. I'm not Shopee, you know, and so that's I mean, most businesses are struggling during this period as well, this COVID period. So maybe we'll have a Lazada team, right? So that's
probably not Lazada.
E-commerce derby.
Yeah, maybe Razer lah.
Anyone got Jeff Bezos' number? You know, give him a call.
Chump change for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we got a local like Razer, or maybe you know the fellow who owns
Secret
all
Lab,
the
Secret Lab, right?
Yeah, maybe the fellow who owns all the mala stalls.
They're all red. They wear red. Then you know, Secret Lab. Yeah.
Yeah,
but
the
benches
with spicy
all
players,
special seats. Special seats reclining. Yeah.
Maybe you got spicy halftime entertainment also.
Yeah.
Remember we used to have that previously?
The
cheerleader squad,
right? That spicy.
That kind of spicy,
That kind of spicy. Yeah. I was thinking of some, I think the early SLE games, they were giving away nasi lemak.
What were they?
In Tria, they give you a small packet of nasi lemak or something.
Yeah, so that can be spicy too, yeah.
Yeah. Different types of spicy, I remember.
Both count, lah. Both kinds count, lah. There has been funding recently, you know, of private funding into sports in Singapore. I mean, we've seen it happening in badminton, right? The recent successes. But unfortunately, I think for Singapore also, a lot of the money comes in only when we're winning.
Yes.
It's very hard to get funding when you haven't been winning or you're struggling to even get noticed, right?
Agreed.
Fact, I think the Suzuki Cup was a good step forward as well to get them out of the shadows and say, look, there's something there. Mm. There's good hype. So I think if anything, the FIA should have been pitching hard after that tournament. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, well, we'll see when the S League, or rather the Singapore Premier League, kicks off. Hopefully in March.
March, April. Yeah,
nothing's announced yet. But,
they've asked for accreditation already, actually. They approached me for accreditation. Oh, so I think nice. they're planning soon. That's which reminds good. Me, I've not applied. So maybe I should, like, just so you could walk in and watch these games. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we all should.
Yeah, possibly.
Well, we'll see. Okay. I guess that's all for this week. You know, nothing much is going to happen this weekend. It's the Premier League winter break. Yeah. Whatever, you know, counts for a winter break these days. maybe good time for them to play some of the postponed games, perhaps. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Next week, I don't know. I mean, we might do something different because it's a slow week, I guess.
Footballing wise,
we might do something different. Unless, you know, things really start heating up in the AFCON, and then we might talk about that as well.
Mm.
But before that, enjoy what's left of the week, I guess. Try and catch the AFCON on TV if you can catch it. Highlights are definitely on YouTube.
Yep.
Those are quite fun to watch. And we'll talk to you again next week. So with that, I'm signing off. That's all from me, Hyrule. Guys, Hata.
Yes, guys.
Ewan.
Yep. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Talk to you guys again. Bye.
See you.